1:15 says, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." And I would agree with Paul that the more you know about the Lord, the more you realize the depth of his salvation for the depth of your sin. So as we look at trusting God, we need first to trust him for our salvation and our entrance into eternity with him into heaven. Once you trust him, place your faith in him for salvation, then you start figuring out how to grow in respect to your salvation and place your trust in God with the rest of your life. So we're going to start with one of my favorite verses. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path." So how does one trust the Lord with all their heart? There are many verses in the Bible on trusting God, and God has used many saints to share thoughts on trusting God. Again, 212 pages on trusting God. Wait. Yep, 215 pages on trusting God. I read it. I recommend it. I really thought it pulls in a lot of things. And the little subtitle, "Even When Life Hurts." It's easy to talk about trusting God sort of in the abstract, or when things are going well, it's easy to think you're trusting God. But when things are really hard, that's when trusting God gets really hard. I did listen to the evening news tonight for one of the first times in like months. I just have not been tuning into the evening news. And let me tell you, there's a big reason to know that we can trust God in the world that we're living in. He has this all under control. But back to this. This is a good resource if you would decide you wanted to read more information. Jerry Bridges' book, Trusting God Even When Life Hurts, provides a lot of insight into trusting God. And he picks out three main points to concentrate on in learning more about trusting God. First, and I have to say again, that, sorry about all these sidetracks. My mind thinks of something and I just have to say it. But I listened to the sermon last night. Wow. All that depth of knowing who God is. That's how you build your trust in God, is knowing how amazing he is. And then you just can't fail to trust him. Anyway, back to Jerry Bridges. First, God is completely sovereign. Second, God is infinite in wisdom. And third, God is perfect in love. So as we learn more about God's complete sovereignty, his infinite wisdom, and his perfect love, we will develop a deeper and deeper relationship with him, and we trust those whom we know intimately. It is much easier to trust someone that you know intimately than someone you just met. So the more you know God, the more you will be able to trust him. The Bible says in many verses, and I've singled out one that I'll share with you in a second, that unbelievers do not trust in God. They call them the wicked sometimes, or pagans. They do not trust in God, but their trust is in idols, in man, in their own heart and righteousness, in futile things, in falsehoods, in earthly alliances, and their wealth. They trust in things that are vain and deceiving, resulting in shame and destruction. And the Bible encourages us over and over again that we need to have our trust placed in God and not things of our own making. Habakkuk 2:18 says, "What profit is the idol when its maker has carved it, or an image, a teacher of falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork when he fashions speechless idols." Habakkuk 2:18. So when we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are beginning a relationship with God in which we will learn to trust him more and more. And back to the verse I wanted to start with, another quick aside. When I looked at the word trust, or place your confidence or hope, it's like the list of verses just. So we're just looking at a few tonight, very few of the many that are out there. So I would encourage you, if you want to look at more, to do the study on your own on trusting God, because you will find verses. In fact, if you think of one tonight that's really impacted you on trusting God, jot it down and share it at the end, because we'd be very interested in hearing things that God has used the word in your life and trusting God. So back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You want to turn there. Twyla, do you have that?
Oh, I'd love to have that, yes. 5 and 6?
Yep.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight.
Thank you. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not hold back. Do not doubt. Don't have even a sliver of hint of hesitation of putting yourself completely in His hands. However, as my trainer tells me, 15 repetitions. You need to do 15 repetitions of that exercise right now. This is something you have to do more than once. You have to think about it over and over during the day. Yes, I will trust God, even though they're flooding out east and there's fires out west. I will trust God, even though I don't seem to have enough money to make it through the end of the month. You have many, many times that you need to think this through. Don't hold back. Don't doubt. Put yourself completely in His hands. Trust Him to act. Anyway, trust the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is not a one and done. Do not rely on your own understanding. But wait, God gave me a brain. Shouldn't I be able to figure all this out? Well, I found a very interesting exposition on this verse. Well, it wasn't quite an exposition, but he pointed out that we don't trust on our own understanding. We don't rely on our own insight because His ways are perfect. Our ways are flawed. Psalm 18:30 says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him." Man's ways? Proverbs 14:12. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." Number two, God's heart is pure and righteous. Our heart can be deceptive. Psalm 145:17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways and faithful in all He does." But man's heart? "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Three, His ways do not change. God is unchanging. Our hearts can change. They do. Numbers 23:19. "God is not human that He should lie, not a human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill?" And human beings aren't that way. Four, God sees from an eternal perspective. We see from day to day. Psalm 92, "Before the mountains were born or you were brought forth, before the mountains were born or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Our God is the creator of everything. We can trust Him. Psalm 139:16, "You saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." But man's vision? 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." And five, we make plans, but they only come to pass if God wills it. Proverbs 16:1, "We may make our plans, but God has the last word." Proverbs 16:9, "A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And James 4:13-15, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go this or that way, and spend a year there and carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." So those are five reasons that we should not rely on our own insight, but trust fully in the Lord. And then, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. This entails fixing your eyes on Jesus. In whatever you do, thinking through, is this what God would have me do? Acknowledging Him in everything we do. It reminds me back to that paraphrase. think through the word and do the will of God. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 likens it to a race. We are running the race with our eyes fixed on Jesus. If you have your eyes fixed on the goal, on the prize, then you run the straight line. If you start getting distracted, it happens even in the most strange times. You're driving down the road, and you look over there, and your car goes like this. It's like you just have to keep your eyes straight ahead, fixed on your goal. So next, Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Sally, you have that?
Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it.
So we need to trust Him, and He will carry forth His plan. I have heard it said that God changes our wanter. What we want, our wanter is changed the more we know Him. So when we delight ourselves in the Lord, which is how the two verses start, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. It's not that you can desire a Maserati, and all of a sudden He comes along with this beautiful car. It's when your desires match His will. And your desires will match His will. He will give you the desires of your heart when you are delighting yourself in the Lord. As we trust in Him, He will bring to pass what we need in our lives. So when we examine our path and make our relationship with Him our greatest treasure, then we protect it by delighting ourselves in the Lord and committing our lives to Him. Trusting in the Lord bears fruit. Let's look at Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Deb, do you have that? Great.
Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like the tree planted by the water, that extends its roots by its stream, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit.
Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. And the Word of God likens that man to a tree planted by water, because the person is, or the tree is set in that foundation and it's getting that life necessary water. When we trust the Lord and are planted in the Word, we are continually nourished and brought that life-giving water of the Holy Spirit to help us grow. And we will not cease to bear fruit, even in times of when we're anxious or when things aren't, when there's a drought, so to speak, in the world around us. We will continue to bear fruit because the Holy Spirit is producing it in and through us. Let's look at Psalm 71. Got that? Judy? Yep.
In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In Your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline Your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of habitation, to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for You are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and the useless man, for You are my hope. O Lord God, You are my confidence from my youth. By You I have been sustained from my birth. You are He who took me from another's womb. My praise is continually from You.
So although the translation that Judy read doesn't use the word trust, the concept is in there over and over.
And from birth
we have had to rely on God for our life, our breath. That's right. And all along, as we grow, we want to encourage the young people around us to be trusting God for everything. Sometimes it's not a bad thing when they have to wait for something and you don't just give it to them, but they have to wait and watch the Lord work in your life, in their life, in your family, to provide something that you thought you wanted, but you had to wait and trust God for in your life. So all the way through, this translation I am reading from, I don't even remember where I got this, sorry. In You, O Lord, I put my trust. Never let me be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. So he even asks the Lord to help him trust. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me. You were my rock and my fortress. And we talked about the fact that trust is putting your hope and confidence on something very sturdy. He calls God his rock and his fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man, for you are my hope. Again, that's that concept of trust. You are my trust, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I've been upheld from birth, and you are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. So we can learn to trust the Lord at a young age, and we can rely on that trust and allow it to grow as we get older and older, realizing that God is providing everything we need, even our life and breath. And then something we are not to trust in is the riches and power and prestige of this world. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19. Rita?
Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be deceived or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so that you may take hold of that which is life indeed.
Command those who are rich in this present age not to be proud or haughty. That is one of those antithesis of trust, is to be proud and think you did it all yourself and take all the glory for yourself. So I'm rich, so I can take care of it all myself. I don't need to trust God for anything. Well, that is not what the Bible tells us to do. We are to trust in the living God and his rich bounty. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He can provide anything you need when you need it. And we can trust him to be the provider of all things that we need. And he says it's a command that we are not to be trusting ourselves, but we are to be trusting in the living God. And he goes on to say then, when you trust God, you are to be doing good, be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, and storing up for the time to come, that we may lay hold of eternal life, knowing that God will be using us and what he's given us to help others in their walk in trusting God. Then another particular one that I don't know. Phil Baer taught this song. Do you remember that? When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word, in God whom, in whom I trust. That's the gist. Anyway, it was a song we learned in Vacation Bible School. And the general theme and the general tune has stuck with me all this time. And every time I have a fear, that song just kind of resonates in my head, that if I feel afeared, if I'm afraid, if I have fear, put my trust in God. Because he is in control of it. Even though I can't sometimes see how I'm going to get through it, I still know I can trust. So let's look at Psalm 56. Psalm 56... Sally, you want to read that?
Yeah.
Read the whole thing.
Be gracious to me, O God. A man has trampled upon me, fighting all day long. He oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me.
Sorry. Stop.
Psalm 56?
Absolutely. I just forgot to say, it says it's David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath.
Oh, yeah.
So this guy is really afraid. I mean, the Philistines got him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have just a little fear. He's not just a little afraid. He's got the Philistine. He's in the middle of the Philistines, and they're not happy. Okay, sorry.
So go on to
verse 3.
When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack. They lurk. They watch my steps, as they have waited to take my life. Because of wickedness, cast them forth. In anger, put down the peoples, O God. You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living.
So when he was afraid, what did he do? He prayed. He prayed. Here's his prayer. He's talking to God and telling God how amazing he is and how he knows that God has taken care of him all this time and how he knows that he is bigger than his enemy that's out there in front of him. And that's what we do when we're afraid, is we pray. We trust in God. We put our trust in God. We exercise that muscle and say, okay, God, I really do know this, but I'm working on it more today. I will put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. And you think about it, 150 Psalms. And I know they weren't all David, but these were people bringing praise and prayers to God, showing how much they trusted him. You don't go praise and pray to someone you don't trust. So each one of the 150 Psalms are really an expression of trust in God. So when you need to trust God more, the Psalms are a great place to be. So praying is something we want to do whenever we're afraid and need to put our trust in God. And in the New Testament, we know 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares about you. So I have spent a lot of time in the Old Testament in my lesson tonight, but their concepts are in the New Testament as well. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. Not even a little bit. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I didn't put the rest of 7 on there. You probably can tell it to me, but I just wanted to, when you're afraid, you trust in God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, so this next one, when I found this verse, I just, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So let's look at Proverbs 16:20. You got that?
He who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord.
Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. That word blessed is happy. It's a concept of being in a proper state of mind and pleased with the Lord and happy. Happy is he who trusts in the Lord. But would you read that first part again?
He who gives attention to the word will find good.
Yes. He who gives attention to the word. So the word of God is where we need to be so that we have our feet firmly planted in the word and to be able to trust God. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. So trusting has a lot of side effects, for lack of a better way to say that. If you trust the Lord, you will find yourself happier than if you don't. So, Psalm 33, 20 and 21, trusting in the Lord results in rejoicing and thanksgiving. Chris?
Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name.
The name of the Lord God is, again, a tower in which we can place our trust, because his name is powerful, and he is a shield and a help for those who wait on him. And again, that the verse starts, are we going to read that verse 20 again?
Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
Our soul waits for the Lord. We learn patience in learning to trust the Lord. Because when you trust him for an outcome, you don't always get it that very instant. Contrary to our culture's desire to have everything in a 30-minute sitcom all resolved, it doesn't happen that way. We need to have our soul waiting for the Lord and learning to trust in him. And Psalm 28:7, Sal?
The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am up. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song, I shall thank him.
So we rejoice in him, and we thank him. When our trust is in him, we realize that he is the one that is worthy of our praise and our thanks and our rejoicing. And he keeps us in the last verse I have on your paper. Isaiah
26:3. Isaiah 26:3. The steadfast mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you.
Go read the next verse too.
Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have everlasting love.
So yes, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So the world does not have peace. But as we learn more and more about trusting in the Lord and place our trust in him, I have to confess, I don't know that I've had perfect peace. In a sense, I have peace because I know my ultimate destiny is heaven. But God says it's perfect peace. You will keep in him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord is everlasting strength. So we know that he is strong enough to accomplish what he wants. He loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. He's wise enough to accomplish the best thing for us. He is sovereign to make it happen. In all these things, we can know and trust God. So what makes it so hard? Well, it's because we're sinners, and we just keep trying to trust ourselves. So here's a couple ways to practice trusting him. And it comes back to, like, that trainer keeps telling me you need to do multiple repetitions of these things. It just doesn't happen one and done. Actively cast your cares on him. Again, 1 Peter 5:7. We cast our cares on him because he cares for us. So we want to be in a state daily to actively cast our cares on him. When something happens and you feel anxious, your first response isn't to call your mom and ask her what to do, or to call your best friend and see what should be done. Our first response needs to be to go to the Lord. And then we can go to other people and ask for counsel. God doesn't say we can't ask for good counsel. But our initial response should be, what do you want me to do here? Actively cast your cares on him on a daily basis. In fact, sometimes it's moment by moment. We trust and obey because God cares for us, and he wants us to bring our cares to Him. Then another thing to do, plug into God's Word every day. This is where you're going to really get your feet settled into solid ground. And again, Psalms is a great place to be. One of the things I read said, the Bible is packed with mind-blowing goodness. So get in there and blow your mind. Yes. Reminds me of that little icon, you know, you put on your the little iPhone thingy. So the more you read about Him, the more you know someone, the more you trust Him. So be diligent about reading His promises, recounting His faithfulness, and studying His Word every day. It's not only what we're commanded to do, it's what will help our faith thrive and get us closer to God. And it's hard to do that sometimes because the busyness of the world wants to distract us. Next, walk in obedience to Him. And that shows you trust Him. If you do what He says to do, if you're reading the Word and doing what the Word is telling you to do and bringing everything to Him in prayer, that's walking in obedience. If you go to the doctor and the doctor says, take this pill, and you trust the doctor, then you take the pill. Now, I heard your earlier thing there, so then maybe that example isn't completely good. You got to realize doctors are fallible, but you do what the doctor tells you to do because you trust them. And we are going to do what God tells us. If we do what God tells us to do, it shows that we trust Him. And then finding confidence and security in Him alone, rather than in our retirement account or our bank account or our house or our stuff. We need to find security and confidence in Him alone. Especially when the world starts falling apart, you start realizing more and more you can't trust the stuff, but it's really Christ alone to whom our allegiance lies, and we need to show the world that we put our trust and confidence in Him and not in the stuff that we have. And then, and we talked about this earlier in one of the verses, wait on the Lord and renew your hope. Don't expect it to happen quickly. It's something that we need to practice. We don't want to get stale about it. You want to keep it fresh. So you want to keep reading the Word and allowing His Spirit to use it in your heart and mind. And then some results of trusting God. God is glorified. When you show the world that you trust Him, and your coworkers or your family members or your friends see that you have a peace about you that they can't explain, that can be a witness. That is glorifying to God and showing that Him, showing everyone that you believe in Him. Isaiah 60:21 says, we are the work of His hands for the display of His splendor. So He is on display through those of us who call ourselves His children. When we take the message to them in the gospel, in our lives, He can be working and be glorified. And then the more results of trusting God, we are made more and more like Him. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So God is constantly changing us from the inside out to be more and more conformed to His image. So the more we trust God, the more we are being made like Him. And then our fears are extinguished. And I know that this lesson has been an impact in my office because we had a chance to talk about trust and they don't get why I can have a peace about my life when the world seems to be so chaotic. And we're waiting to hear about a special session which would cause our office to be have an unexplainable amount of work because of the timing of something like that. But I'm not going to worry about it. And it's just, you know, God is in control. So he extinguishes our fears. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I am not afraid. So the world can see that our fears are extinguished when we're trusting in God for whatever the issue is at hand. And another thing that happens when we trust God, the enemy loses. Satan, the enemy, loses. Satan is thwarted. Luke 10:19-20 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." So as we go forward trusting in the Lord, the enemy is not having a victory. And again, the decision to trust God must be made daily. Remind yourself and tell God daily who he is, what he has done for the world, and what he has done for you. The more we remind ourselves in prayer, telling God who he is, thanking him, praising him, trusting him, the more we will trust him with every decision we need to make. And then back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Give your entire heart to God, all of it. First in prayer, but also in your actions. If you think there might be pieces of your heart that are still reluctant to hand over to him, or if you aren't sure what pieces those are, ask yourself, what am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? Our fears will always give us clues as to what we have not laid down at his feet. Whatever things are causing us to fear is probably where we need to be trusting God more. Last, be in God's word. You cannot pull away from your own understanding to rely on his if you are not listening to his voice. You may not know the whole story of why God has brought you to this particular battle, but if you are faithful to him, God will give you details, some of the details of the story, and trust his understanding and not your own. And again, these are things we do daily to build our trust in him. It's not something you can just read a book and have it all taken care of. A lifelong pursuit. Yes?
The verse in Isaiah, starting the first page, "The steadfast mind," and I've been thinking of the things you've been saying, the mind is distracted. So we have to keep our mind on this. Then we know who the Christ is.
Yeah, it can't be our feelings.
It sends you, you can get distracted by it and then be worried. But it drove you back to God because your mind is in the key of God.
Well, and there's a verse for that. Psalm 112:7 says, "He will not fear evil tidings." Another version said, "bad news." "He will not fear bad news. Depart with steadfast trusting in the Lord."
Perfect.
So it's a great verse for that.
Yeah. Did anybody else have a verse they thought about it that's been particularly helpful in trusting God? Yeah.
Not a specific verse, but in recent intermission when Elizabeth Ross spoke, she used a phrase that she learned from another Christian woman. "Whatever brings you near to God, it's a blessing. It's good." And that covers everything. Whatever brings you near to God. So when problems or difficulties or trials come up, I can trust him.
Amen.
That's bringing me nearer to him. As you were saying, the better I know God, the more I can trust him. And so we almost begin, and I'm going to say almost, but at this point in my walk with God, we almost begin to enjoy the trials or look forward to the trials.
Well, there's a purpose. I don't know if you enjoy it, but I can look at them and think, okay, there's something going on here. Help me to learn what I need to learn. So I guess that is a form of physical enjoyment.
Oh, to know that it's not, not.
And when you said about perfect peace, and you wonder, you know, about perfect peace, but in another sense, it's that peace that passes all understanding.
True.
You know, it's like,
how do you have peace in that? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the peace that someone doesn't know God has.
I had that experience. I was driving to Kansas City a week ago, and I took a little side because they had detoured us off, and then back onto the road. But I ran over something. I said to my sister, I just ran over something, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't see it. We didn't pull back into the lane, and all of a sudden, well, it was a very flat tire, shredded. And the peace that passed all understanding, I thought, oh no, we're gonna be late. We're gonna be, you know, blah, blah. We're in the middle of nowhere. We're between Bennett and Syracuse. And God sent an angel. And it was a gentleman that was in a grain truck, and he was going the other way to pick up his load. He said to himself, he said to us later, if those ladies are still there when I come back, I'm going to stop. And I had been calling, you know, safe, whatever you call for safety road and all that, and Subaru and Lincoln, well, we could maybe send someone out in a few hours. And, you know, it's like, okay, but it wasn't panic. It was just a piece that passed understanding, and then all of a sudden here comes this great big truck and this great big burly guy with tattoos all over his arms, and he was Jesus tattoos.
Oh!
Yes. And he said, he told us a story, and I had the jack out, I had the little donut tire up and other things, but I couldn't get the lug nuts out. And so Jerry said, I can do this. So he just, and it was a hot topic. He just got down and he did this. He knew everything to do because he knew the area. He called we called three different places to see if they had a tire. Besides, I needed no. Finally, in the Vesta City, they did. Well, when he put the donut tire on, I hadn't had it on since I bought the car in 2015. It was a little bit flat. Not a lot, but a little bit. But I still didn't panic because my angel was working overtime. And God knew. He had a hose in his truck. He pulled it right over, aired up that tire, and we drove 60 miles an hour into Nebraska City, and he had talked to them at the place that he suggested, and within 5 minutes they said, okay, we know which tire, and we've got it ready here, and within 15 minutes it was on, and we were on our way.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. But, you know, it was a piece that just passed all understanding. And Jerry goes to the Syracuse Bible Church.
Cool. And
Fred said that he said that sounds exactly like Jerry. I asked him about it.
Okay,
he said he loves to do things like that as a way of serving the Lord and just being available. Well, and
did he have a last name for him?
Yeah, and I have it wrote down. It is a little lengthy.
Yeah.
But it was neat to see how God not only connected them with help, but someone that they could feel safe around, even though they may not have
helped. Yeah.
I mean, God is just perfect in what he does, and someone that would go beyond, okay, I'll get this on for you, but I don't care what else happens to you. Jerry would. Fred said that sounded exactly like Jerry.
And then he prayed with them before we got on and before he got on, and he just stood by the side of the road and he prayed. And it was just like, thank you, Lord.
That is an angel.
It was.
In its way of speaking.
Kind of a long story, but I looked at the time and I thought, oh,
got time
for this. It was just too much to
have. So, like your side effects to trusting God, Psalm 118:8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. You know, if we just don't trust, like you said, in the physical things like our house and our bank account, that's trusting in man. Trusting in, and it's just better to take refuge in God. And then I really like Psalm 9:10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. If we put our trust in Him and seek Him, He won't forsake us.
Amen.
Says He will be with us. Says it right there. So why wouldn't you trust God?
But if you hadn't read it, you wouldn't know it.
Right.
Good on you.
And Hebrews 13:5 is one I think of all the time. I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid.
Amen.
Valley,
you know, you said, in the middle of nowhere. You know,
yeah,
right,
right. As far as
thoughtful
and
yeah.
And you know, just
Chris, you wanna end us in prayer?
Lord, it is such a great thought to be reminded of. If we just do the simple process of trusting you and relinquishing all our what-ifs and our control and everything that we think we're doing to help you out, we just trust you and do what the Bible says that we are to do, that we are not to be anxious for anything. And you gave us the process. Just pray about it. And then think on good things, that you will give us that peace that passes all understanding. I pray these simple truths will become evident in our everyday life, in everything that we say and do. And I just thank you so much that you made it easy for us if we just trust you. Help us to rely on this wonderful power we're learning about on Sunday nights, about who you are, and how sufficient you are, and how eternal you are, and mighty you are, and help us to rest in you, so that we can live our lives to serve you and not worry about the things that don't matter. Thank you so much for these ladies. Thank you for Marshall's study. Pray that we'll think about it during the week and trust you in all of our activities, all of our trials, all of our good things.